Well, Glenn Swilly and Donegal footballer Michael Murphy joins us ahead of the final two episodes of AIB's GAA series, The Toughest Trade, on Virgin Media Television this summer. It's on every Monday night, but you can catch it on the Virgin Media Player as well. The series features GAA stars Aidan O'Shea, Michael Murphy, Lee Chin and Brendan Maher as they swap sports with their counterparts in American football, rugby, ice hockey and cricket. Michael, you took a trip to Claremont Auvergne to play rugby while Shane Williams, the former World Rugby Player of the Year and ex-Wales international, went to Glen Swilly. How did you find the swap? Because you'd never actually played rugby ever before, had you?
No, apart from a small bit at secondary school and even a wee bit of college where we just thrashed about with the rugby ball, but never actually played a structured game or for a team. But it was always a keen follower of it. I really had a keen interest in rugby. Just liked the game, something that kind of attracted me. It was the set-piece nature of it and the kind of the structure of it. And I would have always followed it. And Claremont, obviously, being one of the kind of the French and European powerhouses, you know, was something that really attracted me to the opportunity. Getting an opportunity, I suppose, to potentially go down under to play Australian rules when I was younger. The one regret that I did have was to be able to get an opportunity to live as a professional footballer, and that week really afforded me the perfect opportunity as a near, I suppose, closer to 30 I was in that time, but it gave me an opportunity to live the life of a professional athlete.
I noticed when watching the episode back, you were really impressed with the gym work they did and the fact that they were fed in the morning and the fact that, you know, they could actually relax in the evenings because they had their training done in the daytime. Is that something, in as much as you possibly can as an amateur athlete, is that something that you've tried to replicate since being in Claremont?
Yeah, well, as much as you possibly can. Obviously, you can't rest as much in the evenings when it's normally your training time. But yeah, listen, I think in our own sport, we're ticking quite a lot of the boxes that the professional game is doing. Maybe just not to that same level of detail, and obviously then, as you mentioned, alluded to there, with the same level as of recovery involved then after it. But yeah, it was an incredible setup. You know, they were very much of the belief they provided everything for their players, and in return then the players really had little or no excuse then to perform, and there were huge amounts of pressure on them. So yeah, I suppose the different attitudes then that come across the professional game, it is their livelihood, it's their work, it's their job, and I suppose they're under contract, and you know, that there's different pressures. Now, obviously, performing at the weekend is huge, and to win for the team and to win for Claremont as an area would be big, but there's also the added pressure that they have to do it and perform well in order to, in order to live a lifestyle, and that added pressure, I don't know if it was involved or it was brought into Gaelic games, how that would cope and feel. And I think that was the thing that I took away from it, as good and all as it was to live as a professional footballer, or as a rugby player, the introduction of a professional area to Gaelic games is something I just wouldn't be fully with, you know.
I know that, you know, Gaelic football and hurling is amateur, but ultimately there's kind of professional demands on you, and you mentioned it there, and it's shown in the episode that they have a culture of no excuses. Now they're professionals, so that it should be a culture of no excuses. In GAA, you're not, so you can kind of understand if a team or a player comes up with an excuse. But it seems to me that the best GAA players and the best GAA teams do have that culture of no excuses. And all of you have jobs, and all of you have lives, and all of you have stuff going on. So it's kind of unfair for us as fans to expect you to have no excuses. But is it a case, Michael, that the best teams, they do have that mentality, the no excuses mentality?
I don't even think they even get that far, Oisin, where they look upon it as a burden or they look upon it as no excuses. I think it's just a culture of actually really, really, really enjoying what they do and really being behind representing that team, that area, that county. And I don't think the burden of the effort or the burden of the commitment really comes into the equation whatsoever. It's just something that you are and something that you do. And that's for me and my experiences so far playing for both my club and my county, that's what it is. You know, people will speak to you and say, Jesus, an awful effort you're putting in and you're missing out on that, this, that and the other. And being honest, until then people actually bring it up, you don't think about it. It's just something that you are, something that you enjoy doing, something that you're driven to do. And that that question of commitment doesn't really resonate really with you. I don't know if I'm explaining that perfectly. It's just something that you do. And the moment in the day that I look at it as a burden, as a commitment, or that I'm doing it instead of doing this, that, or the other, is probably the day where I lose my desire and appetite to play for it and lose your edge to play for it, you know.
And have you ever waned in that? Because look, there's a lot of eyes on you in Donegal and around the country, and there's a lot of expectancy on you in Donegal and around the country. That brings an awful lot of pressure. So how have you managed to just keep smiling throughout all of this? Because I know you love it, but it is, you know, it's tough.
Yeah, basically every time that you feel that you're wandering away or feel like you're going a little bit away from what your principles are, I get back out towards friends in the area that I grew up with, and they normally are all out around my club, and that's what just brings you back to normal and brings you back to why you do it in the first place. So any days that there is a threat of it moving away, or something becoming too much, or a result really getting you down, or a victory getting you too high, I generally just try and be grounded again by getting around the people that kind of I've always grown up with, so that be close family and close friends, and let me tell you, they bring you back down to life, bring you back up to life fairly quickly.
Just before you move on to Donegal and your club, well, we're kind of talking about your club here, because Shane Williams, as we mentioned, went and played with Glenswilly while you were over in Claremont. He really seemed to adapt to the game, and he really seemed to adapt to the lifestyle. I mean, he really immersed himself in Glenswilly.
It was something I think the boys were delighted. I was delighted, number one, to get the opportunity to go to Claremont. But then I was just equally as delighted looking back, probably not in the lead up into it, but looking back on it and going back on it, I was delighted that the club got the opportunity to see a professional sports star come in with absolutely no airs or graces, wanting to muck in and actually just wanting to get, having a real genuine interest in what was going on in the area and what was going on in the sport. And I was delighted that everybody in the club was exposed to that he had the humility to come in, to, you know, have no airs or graces, to muck in, to want to have an interest in the area and have an interest in the game of Gaelic football. And, you know, if he can do that coming from where he has done, and such a, you know, an extended, you know, distinguished career for Wales, then, you know, why can't we, you know? And it's a great, I suppose, you know, it's a great advertisement, I think, for everything, you know, GAA, you know, to see him coming from where he came to come over here and to have the willingness and the wherewithal to give it his absolute all for the week. And he did muck himself into it, and the boys still speak about it. When the cameras were rolling, cameras were on, he was there full on. But even without side of that, he really did, you know, stay around with the boys as much as he possibly could, and wasn't rushing away to get back to his normal life, you know.
And it seems to me that he actually would have made a very decent Gaelic footballer had he hung around.
That's what the boys are saying now. Probably small, quick, probably hadn't played rugby for a few maybe seasons prior to that, but he took it up really, really quickly. If you look at his achievements in rugby, and you look at the type of player that he was too, he was a very, very skillful one. So, you know, it's that crossover of sports. Somebody that's skillful in one game generally has the skills and all to portray them within the other game. And, you know, he was only there for the week. Like, I mean, and for his uptake going from an oval ball to a round ball, ability to overcome the nature of that and the type of training that it was too, because that was one of the areas where he thought that obviously rugby is a much more maybe explosive game, where you get an opportunity to rest, recover and explode again, and Gaelic football is probably much more aerobic, where you're constantly on the move, was the challenge that he found. But he acclimatised it quite well, and even tried to acclimatise the weather on the day.
Michael, how have you found the last while? Because this is probably the first time in your life that you just had to stop and you weren't involved in training and you weren't involved in games.
Funny, at the start of it, looking back and reflecting on it now, I'm excited about getting started back up again and getting to see people. But started back up again is probably the wrong way of describing it, because it probably feels it hasn't really ever finished. You were always on, I feel, looking back, it was always fairly much on edge. We had finished up at a period where it was coming towards the end of the National League, and that is a period where most players will tell you you're really, really beginning to find your fitness and find your levels. And I was very much unwilling to kind of forgo that kind of work that I've done. So you were always keeping on edge, and you're always keeping training as much as you can to maintain as much of that work done as you could. So there was never really a release or an escape from it, I felt, over the last, what now, 2-3 months. So whereas you spent more time at home and your environment was different, your commitment probably never hasn't really changed for me. It didn't really change for me. The way I had to go around it changed, and the plan around it changed, but the actual commitment to training and to keeping in shape and to staying in touch with the team and pushing things on with both Donegal and Glen Swally hasn't really changed, you know.
And are you happy enough with the timelines we have now that, you know, you get club first, then inter-county? Are you satisfied that that is the best that we can get it?
Yeah, I think so. I think we need to compromise on both fronts, club and county, in order to get games. Playing games and getting our games back up and running is the number one thing at the top of the ladder. I've always said that, maintained that. And in order to do that at both club and inter-county level, we're going to need to look at a format that best suits. And it may mean chewing off probably less games rather than more games, but it still gives us games. And I think that is the best way possible to play. We're lucky here in Donegal. We have a club championship that runs a maximum of six games. We play three games in a group stage, and then the winners of them go through to a quarterfinal, semi-final, final. So there's only ever a maximum of six games. And I think that'll allow then, you know, as under-county players, to throw ourselves at the club championship solely and wholly. And as a result, then we'll get our 3 to 4 week lead in into an inter-county championship. And I suppose in order to finish that off in the calendar year, it's hard to look past anything but knockout. But again, we just have to wait and see if that is going to be the case.
In Donegal, the structure seems to be very tidy. Are you happy enough with it?
I'm happy as long as it stays like that. I'm happy with it. I think any more games than six is going to be, it's just going to be unachievable. It's going to blur the lines between preparation then for inter-county season, and it's what's going to happen. There's just going to be more and more pressure involved at inter-county level to actually pull players away and get them prepared for that first inter-county game. So I think it's going to need a 3 to 4 week lead in into that, and I still think by doing that it's achievable. It gives you 8 weeks to run a club championship. And I think at the moment where we stand, where we don't have any games, I think that is, we're fortunate, I suppose, in Donegal and the county that we have to be able to just carry on with the current one that we do have. I think it works perfectly, being quite honest. And even after that, then we can look at playing, even running club leagues again, and maybe through in conjunction and coinciding with the inter-county game, you know.
And have they confirmed that this is the structure they're going to go with, or is it just, like, the structure is what it is and it will fit nicely into the 11 weeks or whatever it is we have for club championship?
I would say that in most counties at the moment, from what I gather as of this morning, I don't know what the structure is going to be. You would assume that is going to be the case because we haven't heard anything, but I'm sure they're probably going down routes of looking at how to best fit it into the allotted time. So I suppose time will tell, and that I see some counties are coming out with their proposals at the moment. And that is, in fairness, probably difficult for counties to come out with their proposals at the moment when they don't really know the full landscape of what the inter-county scene is going to be. So all we're going off now at the moment, I suppose, as GAA followers, players and everything, is the club championship is going to start at end of July, beginning of August, and the inter-county championship is going to start on October 17th. So that's the only dates we can go off until we hear more.
Yeah, well, it sounds like Donegal have a good structure as is. They just need to move it into the time allowed. Does the fact that you'll have less preparation time and it's kind of a more condensed championship, whatever way it runs, does that open it up a bit more? Does that give teams like Glen Swilly a bit more of a look in?
Please God, hopefully. Yeah, it's been madly competitive over the last number of years. I do like the cut and thrust of knockout, but I can understand group scenarios, and by and large, if you look at the last number of winners of the Donegal Championship since the formation of the group stages, the best team normally comes out on top. The downside of the group stages is that it eliminates any shocks, probably, you know, because the team that maybe does, you know, get a shock early in the group stages has an opportunity to recover. So it eliminates that, but by and large, we'd have to think it has coincided. The group stages that we've done with the four groups of four has coincided with our probably our strongest period as a as a as a as a county in terms of the representation within the club championships, with both Glentys and Gidore going on really, really strong runs over the last number of years. So there's another incentive to try and keep it at that there. But yeah, there's something then exciting too with knockout that still grabs me. And maybe I'm an old romantic at heart, where you like the cut and thrust of the knockout, you know.
Yeah, it sounds like you would actually be in favour of knockout for the Inter-County Championship as well, the All-Ireland Series and Ulster Championship. It would give you a chance to experience something that you never had, old-school knockout.
Yeah, no, that is it. I always have, funny enough, I watched the time off there. There was loads of old games on, and we were watching them, and you were trying to put yourself in their shoes where, you know, that game was knockout like, and there's no other way of denying it. It puts an added subconscious pressure. I don't care what you say, but when you know that you have another opportunity, if you lose that game, it's not the same. But when you know that you don't have another opportunity in the back of your head, it does add an extra dimension to the game. And I do believe there's that period to where it can be really, really exciting by holding a knockout championship, but there's also the added incentive where just to think it is the compromise that is needed in order to finish this off in the calendar year. But again, who am I to say in that one? And there could be bigger and better plans ahead, you know.
We don't know what the format is as we speak. And of course, Sod's Law is, as soon as we stop this interview, they'll probably release the format. But if it is straight knockout, would that suit Donegal a bit more? Because like the Ulster Championship has gone well for you in the last couple of years, but the Super 8s have been a struggle.
Yeah, we've failed it. There's no point in you've hit it in the head. We've failed when the you know, push came to shove in the Super 8s over the last number of years. We've fallen at that hurdle, at that quarter final, I suppose, hurdle, really. We were going into each one of our last games in the Super 8s with the opportunity of reaching a semi-final. And on both occasions, both games, we were very, very much in. We fell at the final hurdle. So, again, will it suit us any better? I don't know. You still need to win your games, whether that be an Ulster final or in all that, you still need to win your games. And being honest, when you get to that stage of Super 8s or All-Ireland semi-finals or quarter-finals, it's about going the whole way then, you know. So once you park your Ulster Championship and you get an opportunity, if you do, if winning that or getting towards a final, you park that very quickly, and then focus returns then until actually winning the thing then. It doesn't really return to actually getting towards a semi-final or getting towards a final. It really, really just solely focuses them towards winning, you know.
And Michael, just before I let you go, how good is it to be looking forward to games again, to be looking forward to training again? Because for players, this has been a really, really tough time.
Yeah, can't wait. I'm so, so excited. I think it's just there's a spring in everybody's step. I think last week, anybody you were speaking to, you know, obviously the lockdown restrictions, you knew that they were going to begin to ease come Monday. And then as well as that too, you got the added incentive to hear that the football was going to be back. And to me, that was just the be-all and end-all, to hear that we're going to have football and hurling for this 2020 calendar year. Because there was, I suppose, a genuine worry from players, supporters, fans, everybody alike, that there may be the potential prospect that there wouldn't be games this year. But to now to hear that the air were full of hope and haven't been full of hope now, we're quickly our attentions are turned to getting ourselves ready and what these structures are going to look like. So, yeah, we just have to put the trust in that there's going to be a, you know, common sense use and common sense will prevail to get ourselves an opportunity to play an adequate number of games, even if that has to be a small number. If we have to do that, it gets us back up and going and gets Gaelic, because you don't realise how strong the GAA is until it's probably not being as active as possible through these summer months, you know, and how much it is part of you during these summer months, because it really is the only topic of conversation during the summer months, you know.
And are you okay with games being behind closed doors if that's the way it has to be?
It has to be. Listen, part of the championship, part of the experience when I was a young fella going to games in Clonus, Brewster Park, Enniskillen, Crow Park, Castlebar, Ballybuffet, it was always about going up there a couple of hours early, meeting everybody up there, you know, getting your cup of tea in the back of the boot, going into the game, your flag, meeting everybody, putting the roar up when your team scored, crying when your team didn't score. But I mean, at the end of the day, as I said, the top of the ladder is getting the games back up and running. And if we have to play them behind closed doors, even though that isn't isn't ideal for a player, you know, isn't the best experience maybe for a player, for a supporter, then I think we just have to look at it in order to get the games back up and played, you know.
Well, Michael, as a lifetime junior F hurler and footballer, if you need advice on playing in front of no crowd, then come to me. It's the only thing I could possibly give you advice on when it comes to GA. And then Swilly and Donegal footballer Michael Murphy, thank you very much for joining us. Of course, you're part of the Toughest Trade series made by AIB GA. It's on Virgin Media Television all this summer. For exclusive content and to see why AIB are backing club and county, follow us on AIB via Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or of course AIB.ie/GA. Michael, thank you very much.
Good man, Ashton.